Sunny Las Vegas, Nevada. America's entertainment capital.
Steve Sanchez, conservative talk show host.
I've been waiting for this night to come. Get up! Now it's time for me to take my place. The makeup running down my face.
Broadcasting from his undisclosed bunker studios, the dawn of Las Vegas, Steve Sanchez.
And I say welcome to the show.
101.5 FM, 720 AM, Kate on the Talk of Las Vegas, Friday edition of the show. Yes, once again, here we are upon the weekend. Lots to talk about tonight. Of course, we got to break down the DNC sideshow that we've seen for the last 4 days. A bunch of court jesters running around screaming racism, racism, racism. It's almost like the Brady Bunch. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. Instead, it was racism, racism, racism. Trump, Trump, Trump. A lot to discuss on that at the bottom of the hour, and of course in hour number two. I wanted to start off by giving you some good news. It's always good news. Anytime we can get good news on a Friday going into the weekend is always a good thing. The CDC director, if you believe him, he seems to be legitimate. CDC director has said that he expects U.S. coronavirus deaths to start falling by next week. This is good news. This is good news because here's what's happened. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has stated that, you know, since the outbreak started, there's been 5,500,000 cases, 170,000 deaths. And in these last 24 days, we've seen the nation's 7-day range fall considerably. The numbers are declining considerably. States' numbers are declining considerably. You know, the real question, and I think everybody's asking, is why is that? Was it the social distancing? Was it wearing the masks? Or is it just herd immunity and the disease will just top out because viruses just do? Will it come back? How hardcore is it going to come back? These are a lot of questions that I think a lot of people have concerns on, and rightly so. I don't want to spend too much time on debating, you know, why did it go away? Was it the mitigation process? Was it that's not my intent of bringing this up. My intent of bringing this up is once we hear good news, which it is good news that cases are declining, deaths are going to start declining. We're hearing this from the CDC. It's just a matter of seconds that Barack Obama starts mouthing off, sharing articles claiming that coronavirus has defeated America. No, Barack, coronavirus has not defeated America. Of course, the president couldn't help but tweet that, or the former president at least, on his Twitter. And guess what? He's not censored. Isn't that something? Barack Obama, the 44th president of the United States, can tweet that coronavirus has defeated America, which is absolutely fake news, and Jack Dorsey and all his Twitter knights do nothing about it. But when Donald Trump would post something about hydroxychloroquine or something else related to the virus, he's censored and even suspended up to 12 hours at a shot. This again shows you the hypocrisy. It shows you the utter hate, the Trump derangement syndrome that runs so prevalent in this country. And this is why the next 80 days before the election is a serious time. It's a dangerous time because you're going to have the left come out like they've never come out before. They're going to come out with lies, innuendo. Hell, they may make up something to actually have a new catastrophe happen to America. This is how serious these lunatics play. What a radical hater of America this guy is. Look, Barack Obama's a piece of garbage. I'm sorry. I'll say it. He's a piece of garbage. He's a radical hater of America. Tell me he's not. Tell me when Barack Obama spent more than 5 minutes uplifting, promoting the goodness of the country, the greatness of the country. That's not who Barack Obama is. That's not who he's ever going to be. That's certainly not who the hell he was during the 8 years he was in office. And the reason I bring this up is because we have the CDC director saying death rates are coming down. Next week, you're going to see a tremendous amount of those decline, which we're already seeing. Thank God. Of course, Barack Obama has to send something out to scare the crap out of everybody, because if you don't get the crap scared out of you, then you'll vote for Trump. So if they can continue to scare the crap out of you, maybe, just maybe, you'll say, you know what, I better just go with Biden to give someone else another chance, because Barack told me. That's the strategy. Tell me it's not. And then it's interesting that in Maricopa County, Arizona, the health officials have absolutely confirmed that the county is overcounting COVID deaths. Let me say that again. Maricopa County health officials, this is in Arizona, have confirmed that the county is overcounting COVID deaths. Maricopa County happens to be in Phoenix, Arizona, and some other surrounding, Chandler and Gilbert and Tempe and Scottsdale and some other surrounding areas. To absolutely confirm that the way they're counting COVID deaths shouldn't be the way they count them at all is a concern. So that is basically telling us what we need to know, that if they're overcounting deaths and they're counting deaths as COVID deaths, regardless of the evidence of symptoms, they're just basically saying, yeah, it's COVID death. And they're admitting it now that it's overcounted. Then just imagine how many other counties in the country have done the same thing. Look, we've covered that. We've covered that Florida did that and a handful of others. So just imagine as a collective, if counties came out and were absolutely honest, like Maricopa County's been, then there's no doubt that the counted deaths pertaining to COVID would be significantly less. But no. You're not going to have a collective out there, because if that gets out, if other counties around the country confirm what Maricopa County and Phoenix, Arizona's counting, then guess what? It's going to make people start scratching their heads and saying, what the hell happened? Why did my restaurant have to close? Why is this gym still closed? Why is the movie theater closed? Why is my bar closed? Why did my business go under? Why are my kids having to wear masks in school? Which leads me to Utah. So we're now confirming that there's been some lies. There's been some lies to the American public, at least in Maricopa County. We now can confirm that Barack Obama is using scare tactics to scare people, trying to say that coronavirus has defeated America. See, that's the way Barack Obama always operated. That America's not exceptional. That America's always defeated. It's dark. It's gloomy. It's gruesome. I mean, my God, we're going to touch on that more tonight. Because, you know, Joe Biden accepted his nomination last night. He had a speech. We're going to break that down. But that's the Democrats. Dark, gloomy, grim reaper, despair, nothing positive. I mean, when you listen to Barack Obama, then state senator Barack Obama in 2004 at the Democratic National Convention, he spoke about hope. He spoke about change. He was optimistic. That's when he was a centrist. But that has long gone. The Democratic Party's about fear. It's about weirdies. They're weirdies. Oh, my God. Are they not? The theatrics and the weirdness that ensues from the Democratic Party, scary. Absolutely scary. But the mainstream media has created a hysteria. And because they created a hysteria, as I said yesterday, it's allowed us to see the lunatics amongst us. And again, I go back to Utah. Do you realize that in Utah, hear me now, students who don't wear masks in school can be criminally charged, even kindergartners? Did you hear me? I'll say it again in case maybe the corn cobs didn't come out of your ears yet. In Utah, students who don't wear masks in school can be criminally charged, even kindergarten kids. Yeah, this is in the Salt Lake Tribune. I mean, this is not some type of hoax. This is incredible to me. Even though it's a misdemeanor, kids can literally get a slap in the face, hand, or derriere, or literally be thrown into juvenile hall. Because they're saying the children will have to suffer criminal consequences to keep our teachers safe. Now, you tell me that we haven't flipped our lids. Tell me we haven't flipped our lids. Can you imagine your kindergartner, 5 years old, sitting in class 7-8 hours, having to wear that stupid damn mask all that time, and maybe they forget to take it, you know, to pull it up, or it falls and slips, and some lunatic, because again, as I said yesterday, the one thing that you can pull out of COVID-19 is it exposed the lunatics that walk amongst us. And trust me, a hell of a lot of them walk inside the public schools. And they're the Kevins and Karens. They love to flip out. They love to call the cops. They love to lecture you. And this is what I see happening. Can you imagine in a state like Utah that's supposed to be predominantly conservative, Bill of Rights, individual liberties, what the hell's happening? I'll tell you what's happening. Mainstream media created this hysteria. This is exactly what's happening. I mean, that's why the former Surgeon General is basically saying that, you know, it's a patriotic duty to wear face masks. And I'm not here to debate, do you wear them, do you not? I'm not. What I'm saying, and I'll continue to say, and I'll keep screaming it at the top of my lungs, is you should have an option. It should never be mandated. We don't live in a society with a dictator. Hitler is not in charge. Oh, the Democrats will say, yes, yes, he is. Absolutely, he is. He's in the form of Donald Trump. I can't take these people serious anymore. I mean, I literally can't take these people serious anymore. I just can't. All right, look, I'm going to open up the phone line. 702-257-5396 is how you weigh into the conversation. 702-257-5396. The phone lines are open. Friends, what are your thoughts? We got the CDC director saying cases, deaths, you're going to see them start coming down. They're declining. You got Barack Obama saying, nope, coronavirus has defeated America. But yet you got Maricopa County in Phoenix, Arizona saying, yeah, we overcounted the deaths significantly. What? And then you got Utah of all places saying if students don't wear the masks, even as young as kindergartners, we're going to charge them criminally to keep our teachers safe. Chew on that one. 702-257-5396. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Friday edition of the show. Steve Sanchez hanging out with you. 702-257-5396. And yes, I hope my voice absolutely annoys many people out there. That's my job. And now my job is to go to our busy calls. Al, you're up first tonight. Welcome to the program.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, sir.
If I'm correct, a whistleblower gave me a call from way back where I used to work. At 9:11 p.m., somebody's going to call Hannity's production people as a whistleblower with information about what you just talked about. Approximately 51,000 deaths. 30% of over 170,000 United States are fictitious. Heads are going to roll, my friend. I'm going to hang up.
Al, I appreciate that. Thanks for keeping me in the loop. That's a great way to start off the show. Absolutely. I've heard similar things that I don't go public on the air. And, you know, now that I'm seeing and we're hearing now on things we could talk about publicly, like Maricopa County and Phoenix. And then, of course, let's not forget 3,500 in Florida. And there were some others out there. And with what you're saying regarding the whistleblower calling Hannity, that is significant. And my God, Just imagine if we can get the concrete evidence that a lot of this is true. One death is too many. I think we'll all agree. One death is too many. But if we are close to where Barack Obama was with the swine flu, then we shut down the country for no reason. And that is going to piss a hell of a lot of people off that lost their jobs. Casinos lost revenue. People are facing evictions. People are facing short sales. Entertainers are on the boulevard striking because shows are dark. Concerts can't go on. I mean, this has been a domino effect. Great call, L. Let's go ahead and jump back to our busy calls and grab Khalid, the Patriot. What's on your mind? Khalid, are you with me? All right, Khalid has left the building. I gave him an opportunity, and Khalid decided probably to go out and have a smoke. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if he smokes or not, but appreciate you waiting on hold, Khalid, but maybe we'll catch you in the next hour. Sean, I'm reading the call screens here. Friday's always fun. It's kind of like a fun Friday, so I read what goes on between the guys, and it cracks me up. All right, cool. Let's go ahead and get right back. Producer Nate, do I have time for another call before I bounce to break? Okay, let's go ahead and jump over to Billy. Billy, you're next. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, dude?
How you doing, man? I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, what's kind of funny is I've been listening to you now for a couple of weeks, and I find you kind of full of a lot of crap, Steve. You
cool.
Tell a lot of lies.
Cool. At least I'm not wearing a diaper like you do. At least I'm not wearing a diaper like you are with full of crap.
Why are you lying? No, why are you lying?
Billy, you're screaming so loud the spit's coming through the microphone. You can calm down and I can hear you and I'll answer your question. You don't have to spit through the microphone. You're literally screaming where I'm seeing the spit come through my microphone. Why are you lying, dude? Why are you lying, Steve? Steve, I've been listening to you for 2 weeks, and you're full of crap. Steve, why are you full of crap? Steve, why are you lying? Why are you lying, Steve? Steve! Oh, good God. Good God. I can imagine what you look like, to tell you the truth. I have this picture and this vision of what you look like. You know, you look like the guy from Armageddon. The kind of skinny doofus guy with all the jacked up crooked teeth coming out of his mouth. That's what I envisioned when I heard you call, Billy Goat Gruff. So do appreciate the call, Billy Goat Gruff. And maybe next time you'll have the guts to stay on longer and we can have a debate. But, you know, whatever. I know you probably got somewhere to go. Like the 7-Eleven to get two burgers for 99 cents. Steve Sanchez, 702-257-5396 is how you weigh into the program. Lots of calls on hold and I apologize. We have to have our sideshows. It wasn't enough to have 4 days of the DNC sideshow with court jesters. We had one calling the Billy Goat Gruff. But when we come back, we got a lot more to talk about. I got calls on hold. We're going to get to you. This is Steve Sanchez, Friday edition of the show. Don't go away. That we have the best liners rejoins in talk radio. That's right. Not your granddaddy's radio. Not here with Steve Sanchez. Glad that you're hanging out with me on this Friday edition of the show. 702-257-5396 is how you weigh in the conversation. Oh, I looked up into the screen and my God, I see myself on Sean Spicer's show. Oh, wow. Actually, nice jacket, Steve Sanchez. Yes. Yeah, so if you're right now at home listening to me on KDWN, you can go and put on Newsmax TV and you'll see me on for about 15 minutes. I even did a quiz and did a pretty good job. too, by the way. So in case you're interested, I'm right there with Spicer and Company. But now we're back here. Lots to talk about, like my friends over at Delta Rescue. I've been an animal lover my whole life. My wife and I both share the love for animals, have compassion for animals, dogs specifically. How can you not? Man's best friend, my God. Well, if you think that I have this love, if you think you have this love, my friend Leo Grillo has a real love for abandoned animals. In fact, he left Hollywood 40 years ago and started the largest no-kill and care-for-life sanctuary in the world called Delta Rescue. He takes abandoned animals, he lines them up with folks, and you have friends for life. Now, I need you to take a look at what they do so that down the road, if you want to consider how your estate can be part of Delta's mission and actually get tax savings in the process, it's pretty easy to do. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that you can actually, you know, donate to one of these causes in the future at your death. You don't even have to give any money now, but you're going to get tax benefits and savings, and in many cases, sometimes income to subsidize Social Security, retirement, and a variety of other things. So really important to take a look at this. Just go to deltarescue.org/Steve and ask for my free estate package. It's going to lay out everything you need to know about growing your estate while allowing your compassion for animals to live well into the future. Now, when you do that and you get the free estate package, all you need to do is say, send me the free movie called The Rescuer, and it is on its way. It's an award-winning documentary, and it will leave no dry eyes in the room. I can guarantee you that. Just absolutely free for just going to deltarescue.org/Steve and asking for my free estate package. Good friends of mine over at Delta Rescue, I want you to check them out. Please do me that favor, and let's give help where help is absolutely needed and deserved. We got a lot of calls on hold, so let's go ahead and get right back to our busy call lines. Kurt, you're next. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah,
sure thing.
I know it's funny. Yeah, the left is out of control. I mean, if you look at Australia, we are not far from that if Biden wins. And I'm not trying to scare no one, but we are not far from what's going on in Melbourne and Victoria, Australia. They can only leave for an hour a day. And this is after seven people died, albeit they were all over 80. And then they do this full lockdown. They're having facial scanners flown in from China, and they're creating this whole friggin' 1984 Orwellian state over seven old people. Now, it's sad they died.
It's nonsense. It's nonsense. It's insane is what it is. And you're right, because if Joe Biden wins, Kurt, this is what America can look forward to.
Yeah, I totally agree, and it's very scary. And we have to, and it's not absurd to say that, because if you look at all the blue states and cities, they are out of control. You got BLM protesters kicking innocent people in the head. They're in comas. You got all kinds of crazy things going on. And I wanted to mention, too, I was very proud of this black community that actually kicked out BLM people of their own community. They said, we don't want you here. That was on Twitter the other day. I'm not sure if you're aware of it.
Yeah, no, people, and I appreciate the call, Kurt. Thank you. People are starting to step up because they're getting concerned. Like, and I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, some Black Lives protesters have taken to residential neighborhoods in Portland. You know, we spoke about that a few days ago. And you know, I don't think a lot of people realize that this is legitimate. And it's because it's not happening in your neighborhood. So, you know, you see it on TV and you're like, oh, good, you know, it's there. It can happen in any city in America. And trust me when I tell you this, the more you don't consequence Marxist groups, these anarchists, these rioters and looters, these thugs, these criminals doing what they're doing all in the name of peace, which is not peaceful at all, and you don't give them consequences, then you're just giving them permission to keep going to other extremes. Like the Black Lives Matter protesters in Portland just last night, in the dead of the night, they're in neighborhoods screaming to wake up MF-er. I mean, screaming, wake up MF-er. Of course, scaring people in residential homes, waking up. I mean, just imagine in your neighborhood. Just imagine in your cozy, cushy neighborhood of Summerlin or somewhere in Henderson or somewhere where you feel no one's going to come and create any problems or be antagonistic in any way. Just imagine if that's happening in your neighborhood. Well, it's happening in Portland. and nothing is done. And I'm a little upset with President Trump about this, to be quite honest with you. I'm sorry. I have to say it the way I need to say it. I know you're running for re-election, sir, but I'm going to tell you this. You can no longer allow these lunatics to do what they're doing. Screw the mayors. Screw the governors. Make sure the National Guard or the military do what is necessary to get order back in our country. Am I wrong in saying that? Am I wrong? I don't think I'm wrong in saying that. Which leads me to the Democratic National Convention. Because the DNC, these last 4 days, basically made Black Lives Matter out to be peaceful. And they're just peace, love, and kumbaya. And they made COVID-19 to be the pandemic of all pandemics that still hasn't even had any, any way of reducing itself in terms of the chaos it's already created. Barack Obama's making sure of that. So the DNC over these last 4 days are adamant about national mask mandates. I mean, Joe Biden said it in his acceptance speech last night. We'll talk about that in the second hour. But they went on to continue to promote Black Lives Matter. They continue to promote. I mean, when the little boy did the Pledge of Allegiance and they have pictures of Trayvon Martin in the background, what kind of message are you sending? You keep saying that you're the party of unity, that you're there to unite the country. That doesn't seem very uniting to me. It's insane. But what's more insane is some of the people that they had speaking at the DNC convention. There's a lot of sideshow acts that spoke at the DNC, but one in particular that I wanted to mention that was featured is Donna Hilton, 55-year-old Jamaican American. Now here's the deal. Hear me. She was abused and molested as a child. Okay? She was abused and molested as a child. Now she was given just a short slot on a DNC video, okay? But here's the thing, and I want you to hear this, and I think it's important that you weigh in on this. She literally, as she got older, helped six others kidnap the perpetrator who did this to her and squeezed his testicles with pliers. And the DNC proudly featured her as some type of savior. Now, here's what I'm going to say, and it may be controversial. I don't blame her for squeezing the testicles with pliers of this animal that abused and molested her. I understand. I don't agree with it because we can't take matters into our own hands, even though we all sometimes want to. When the worst of the worst happens, we want to, you know, operate as vigilantes. But we're not Batman. So I understand, but she was wrong. But do we really need to feature her at the DNC? And yet in the same breath, make fun of some of the speakers that are going to be at the Republican National Committee, like the McCloskeys, who defended their home when Black Lives Matter busted into their community, busted the gates, and were in front of their house threatening? Where, you know, I hear people making fun of them, but yet it's complete crickets when it comes to Donna Hilton. So here's my question, friends. Should Donna Hilton have been featured based on what she did, based on her kidnapping and holding for ransom for 2 weeks before murdering him? Should she have been featured? I don't think she should have been. Even though I understand, I'm not agreeing with it, but I do understand if you're abused and molested, I understand why she wanted to take revenge. But it doesn't mean she was right. In fact, she was very wrong. But to highlight and showcase that, but yet make fun of a list of people that are at the Republican National Committee to speak next week, again, like the McCloskeys, to me, is hypocritical at best. I'm opening up the phone line. 702-257-5396 is how you weigh into the conversation. Let's go ahead and take a call before we bounce over to break. Let's go ahead and go to Charles. Charles, you're next. Welcome to the show.
TGIF, my brother.
I
do happen to be smoking a cigar outside.
Now, there you go. Enjoy your Friday. There's nothing wrong with that.
Now, let's touch on the DNC convention and Obama quickly. The only thing more despicable in his speech at the convention was turning a funeral into a political rally, which is what happened, about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks
correct.
Ago?
Correct. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about lightness and darkness. Is the light that Biden talked about, is that our cities burning in pyres? We're going to light ourselves by the fires, by the pyres of the fires?
Yeah.
Obama is a community.
You got to remember, Charles, Obama's a community organizer. And Obama really subscribed to Alinsky, Saul Alinsky, if you recall. So his tactics are very Alinsky-like because that's who Obama is. And I apologize. I'm up on break, Charles. Great call. Enjoy that cigar. Have a great weekend. And I'm glad you brought up Barack Obama in your comments, because Barack Obama is an expert in dividing. Because if you read the book Rules to Radicals by Saul Alinsky, that's who he was. And Barack Obama followed that guy. Followed him. This is Steve Sanchez. Quick break. We're going to come back and take more calls. Don't go away. Tell you this, you're never taking advice from a fool, not when you're hanging out here with me every single night. And when we make a mistake, we're very quick to rectify it. When I was discussing Donna Hilton, I read the notes wrong. We have an intern that is helping us, and I'm not going to, put all the responsibility on the intern, but miscommunication, let me make it very clear. My understanding about Donna Hilton was incorrect. The victim that she did this to did not perpetrate the sexual abuse on her. She was sexually abused and molested as a child, and this was the reason, or at least her excuse, for doing what she did to this man and six others that helped, which, again, inexcusable. So, as I said, I didn't blame Donna Hilton for, snapping and flipping, trying to get the perpetrator. But now, as I read in detail, and I should have read this much better, and my fault on that, no, absolutely not. Completely wrong. And again, even though she spent 26 years in prison, she got 25 years to life, she got out after 26 years, and I know she's doing criminal justice reform, and I get all that. Everybody can change their lives in prison or anywhere else. God, allows us to change if we really accept them into our heart. I know it's hard to believe that, but people do change. That my point is she the best representation, especially with the gruesome crime that she did, brutally killing this person? And, I understand her story of sexual abuse and molestation. Does that really warrant her to go do? Now, psychologists will tell you, yes, it does, because people flip out. I don't believe all of that. I don't agree with that. The bottom line is, though, she paid her debt to society. Some will say not enough. And, that's for the courts and everybody else to decide. But my whole point, putting everything else aside in some of the areas that I was in error on, to feature that at the Democratic National Convention in some astounding way, and being upset or making fun of some of the Republican National Convention speakers like the McCloskeys, I still stand on my statement, is absolutely hypocritical at best. All right, let's go ahead and take a couple calls before we bounce to break. Rick in Laguna Beach, you're next. Welcome to the program.
Hi, I found out this morning reading on my phone, Donna Hilton was the one who friends with Kamala. Mala means bad in Spanish. Kamala. Let's pronounce her name. Kamala. She said, I think I have a guy you might want to meet. And this is Mr. Emhoff. the big rich Jewish lawyer from New York who divorced his blonde wife, Kirsten, so he could marry a woman of color, but not of character, because how did she rise up laying down in bed with old black goat Willie Brown, Speaker of the California Assembly, who used her as his little whore and gave her jobs and money?
Yeah, I know. And look, and all that is, it's, you know, we can go on in the list of Kamala. I think everybody knows and Kamala's past, her decisions that she made, good, bad, or indifferent, are going to be left to obviously the voter. And so, you know, at the end of the day, this is how I've always operated. Those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Number one. Number two, I think it's important that we put out one's character, or lack thereof, when they're running for public office. But I have never been one to regurgitate and continue to hit a dead horse over and over and over. I think at this point, people need to do their own homework. People need to open their own eyes. People need to open their own ears and make decisions. Look, people have affairs. If we're going to actually throw Kamala Harris under the bus or her husband, then you have to throw Donald Trump under the bus as well. Hell, you might even have to throw Jill Biden under the bus, because according to Jill Biden's ex-husband, she had an affair with Joe Biden when they were going through their stuff. So who knows? Bill Clinton had an affair, and John Kennedy had affairs. I don't accept. Do I tolerate affairs? No. I don't agree. They're unethical. They're horrifying. They ruin people's lives. But if we're going to actually continue to throw those things out there, hell, half of Washington, D.C. won't be there. Maybe that's what we need. Half of Washington, D.C. to get the hell out of Washington, D.C. for their unethical behavior, their immorality. I want to look at the dangerous part and aspect of Kamala and Joe Biden. Not their affairs. Yeah. Character counts, baby. It does. No question about it. But their vision, that's what scares the hell out of me. It's the vision for America that scares the hell out of me. And it should scare the hell out of you, too. Top of the hour news is next. And you're going to definitely want to hang out for hour number two. Don't go away.